you and ask you. Father, we praise you. Pray that you would, thank you, you want to give us your testimony, that you want to abide among us, dwell among us, walk among us. In our midst, Lord, teach us also to walk in you and before you. I just want to add two more points. If you look at the whole story or history of the Ark of Covenant, there's one important aspect. The priests were the ones who carried the Ark of Covenant, or the only ones who were allowed to carry the Ark of Covenant. And the way in which it was to be carried was also prescribed by the Lord. It was very important to the Lord because it showed if the people would really take the Lord's word seriously, that they would live according to what he commanded them to do. The glory of the Lord cannot be offended. That's why we cannot touch his testimony with our own hands. So it requires the priests. And when the ark was brought somewhere else, and then the sons of Aaron, the priests, had to first cover the ark of testimony before the other priests dismantled the tabernacle so that they wouldn't look at the Ark of Testimony and die, so that they wouldn't be destroyed afterwards. So it shows that it's important to the Lord how we deal with his testimony. And we've been speaking about the priestly service for many years. But the goal is for us to be able to carry his testimony, that we would learn that his testimony is among us and that we would learn how to deal with it. That's why we also have to treasure this priestly service. This is a very privilege of the priest. They are able to draw near to the Ark. They can even carry the Ark of Covenant. And we have to learn this today. That's why we have to treasure this so much more, that he calls us to serve him as priests. It's a very special privilege. And it also means to know the fear of God, to know his authority. Sometimes when I preach the gospel, some people speak with me about the Lord as if they were on the judgment seat and the Lord is the one that has to be judged. They come in their pride, their loftiness. If the Lord were here, I would talk to him like this and like that. This is such a warped picture. Someone talked to me and he accused the Lord of so many things, and I said, excuse me, the Lord is the one who is on the judgment seat. One day he will accuse you or judge you. And it's because we don't know the fear of the Lord, then everything in our heads is warped, is our fear of God cannot just be something we acquire or learn from people, but we have to approach him, draw near to him. Then we have the fear of God. Then we have this awe before him. As Job was sick, he had lost everything before then, his son, his possessions, his flocks, everything was gone. And then his health was also gone. And then his wife came to him and said, now curse God and die. Or something similar. She said something similar. And Job says, you speak like a fool. In his condition, Job gave such an answer. He said, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes. May the name of the Lord be glorified and praised." He really knew the Lord. Even though he was in such a difficult situation, he did not question God's authority. And we also have to learn this. Even if things don't go as we desire or wish or please, we cannot question his authority. He's still the one sitting on the throne. Often we expect God to do what we want. It's the other way around. He wants us to do what he wants. We have to learn this. We have to learn to say, "Lord, what do you want?" You have the highest authority. He has the last word. He can decide everything in my life. Often when you have to decide something and people say, "Go this way," but the Lord says, "No, go the other way." The Lord says, "Go right," and people say, "Go left." Regardless of how close people are to you, God has the deciding word, the decisive word, and the last word. We have to learn to listen to his word. Someone who knows the Lord is someone who obeys the Lord because he has no other choice. Paul says he can't do anything but speak of the Lord. He can't but speak of the Lord. He has to do it. He must do it because it's the instruction from the throne. The Lord doesn't just speak from the throne so that we feel nice. He speaks from the throne so that his kingdom would go on and that someone would do what he says. And that's why we have to learn to fear God. This is healthy to have this awe and fear before God. In everything that we do, to live under his authority means that regardless of my life situation, I trust him. I trust the Lord. You have never lost control. I remember a situation where I was still living with my parents, and it was very difficult at home with my parents, with taking care of them. Everything seemed to be out of control. And then I ran to the Lord. I didn't do anything. I went into my room and I went on my knees before the Lord and I cried out to the Lord until the Lord answered me and said, "I am here," and then everything was okay. Then I knew that the Lord had the control. We have to know the authority of the Lord. This is important. In Zion, we have to be those who are under his authority and live under his authority. The ark is where his authority is revealed. This is very important that we learn this. That in all things, he has the last word, and his opinion is what counts. It's not man's opinion. We often speak too quickly. We often speak too much and too quickly. We have this opinion, and we think we have to say this too. But the question is, whose opinion is it? Is it your opinion or is it the Lord's? In Zion, only the opinion of the Lord counts. This has to do with our fear of God, that we accept what God says and don't accept what man says or what I think. And this is the one side that we learn to get to know the fear of the Lord. On the other hand, when the Lord is there, then we have all of his dominion. Dominion over the power of the enemy. Dominion over his... to build up his kingdom. We cannot limit the Lord through our lack of faith or our unbelief. If the Lord is with us, he will also do it. This is important. The faith recognizes and knows the authority of and dominion of God, and that we trust in him that he can do all things, because with God, all things are possible. So we have to know this side of the Lord if he dwells among us. We have to know him as the Almighty One. Our unbelief really limits the Lord. The work of the Lord is held back wherever there's unbelief, because he cannot execute his authority. He was shocked when he came to Nazareth. He was really shocked by their lack of belief, by their unbelief, but he was amazed by a Roman, someone who wasn't a Jew, who had such faith, because he knew that this was the authority of God. And this is how we have to know the Lord too, that we also claim his authority.
Amen. Oh, Herr, und
if we appear before the Lord, the ark is something wonderful. It's not just the throne of God. There's also supply for you. There's the hidden manna. We would never think this. If you had to appear before the president, he wouldn't serve you with food, or... But God has manna for you. It's astonishing. In the Ark of Covenant, there's a pot of hidden manna. This is wonderful. It's a special food. Not everyone gets this food. You only get this if you come forward to him, all the way into the most holy place. It's a goma, a gomar. It's a portion for one day. That means the Lord has the right food for you for today, and you have to go and get it. We have to do it. We have to learn to get this food from the Lord. This has to draw us to him. Lord, I need this manna. I need this strength in order to do your will today. That's what the food is there for. The food that he gives us, it's not just the showbread. It's already wonderful, but there's also the hidden manna. It gets more and more precious. The more you draw near to the Lord, the more you get from him, the more special the food becomes. It's like a 7-star restaurant. Not just 5-star restaurant, it's a 7-star restaurant. The manna is 7-star restaurant. It's even more special. So we have to learn to get there. Ask yourself, did I get this manna today? Have I appeared before the throne today? We have to learn this. Take this food. If you don't get a breakthrough to the Lord, don't give up. Take the time to seek the Lord and say, Lord, I want to have this manna. And in this ark, there's also this the budding rod of Aaron. It's like an almond tree. It was a rod, it was dead, but they put it before the Lord, and then on the next day, it had blossomed. It had budded. That means the Lord had conquered death. He is the life. He is the life. This is the power of resurrection. If we appear before the Lord, we will always become living. Unless you go in with unclean hands and feet. But if you feel dead, seek the Lord and he will give you life. He will serve you with the power of resurrection. It's a very special power of resurrection. We need this for God's plan. We need this to serve God. It is wonderful. And this almond tree is full of resurrection. It is so precious. No death is there. Lord, teach us. And the Ten Commandments are also in this ark, the law. That shows us that God in Christ has fulfilled all the commandments. He is the fulfillment of the law. And in us, he can also fulfill the law. Everything that the Lord requires of us, he also fulfills within us. We have to believe the Lord in this. We have to trust in the Lord. You will accomplish everything in me that your word has said. I believe you. All the things that statutes you've given us as priests, the Lord is the one who works it within us, and we have to believe the Lord. It is hidden in this ark. That means it has to be written on our hearts. The Lord wants to write his commandments on our hearts. It's not an outward law that doesn't work, but the Lord will write it on your heart. If you draw near to him, he will write your law on your heart. And then he will give you the bread that you would have the strength to do his will. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you. With your blood, we can come forward to the throne of grace, that we can take grace upon grace. Lord, we praise you in Zion. Lord, we lift up your name for the bread that you have given to your people. You have said that they will be satisfied. There will be even more left over. We praise you for the word in your house. So I pray that you would pursue each one of us, that you would be on our side, that you would be to us like the disciples in Emmaus, that when you speak to us, you would speak to us and reveal yourself to us, Lord. Open the inner eyes of our heart, that we would look at the one who has died for us and has risen again. I really gained fear of God as we prepared this word. If you look at this temple, what's the most important in it? It's the ark. If this ark is missing, then all other services, you can just forget it, actually. It's the most important. The Lord also shows us in the description of this whole building, as he described it, what was the first thing that was described? If you go in to the entrance, what is mentioned first? Actually, the ark is the first thing that's described, because that's the most important. Because if you take it away, then you can forget it. If he's not in the house, this is like the control tower, or the center where he gives his instructions. This is where he speaks. Every commandment goes forth from there. Not control tower, more like command center. The Lord has to be the Lord. And if he cannot be the Lord, and if he's not the Lord in his house, then this house is nothing. This ark represents the kingdom of God on this earth. Even when the Lord was on this earth, he said that the kingdom of God is among you. And the word of God became flesh. This ark represented the kingdom of God. And wherever it went, all the enemies were completely destroyed. And when the pillar of cloud was lifted up so that the tabernacle should move forward, then Moses always said, go before us, destroy all the enemies, that all of them would have to flee before you. It was the ark of his power, too. Moses was aware of this, and he said, if now the ark is moving forward, now the Lord is moving, and the enemies have to flee, and all those who hate him have to flee. And as the Lord was on the earth, even the people and the children of God, the children realized that he was one who instructed them as someone who had authority. They realized there was a difference. If the Lord is there, you realize this is where his power and authority is. And when the storm came, it was his word alone that was enough to still the storm, quiet down the storm. And also in the church, the Lord has to be here. The Lord has to rule here. And I need respect before his presence and his ark. And if I don't, then the church is dead. And we see this in this whole picture. And also, if we just touch the ark just like that, or just look inside, then we will also die. If we don't use it in a proper way, then you will experience defeat. So the Lord said to the church in Sardis that you have the name that you are alive, but you are dead. This can happen to us today as well. And why? Because they had defiled their garments. And he said, only a few of you have not defiled their garments. And this also shows us the priestly service. It's also a statute for the priest. If you come in any old way and you didn't put on the priestly garments, then they will gather sin upon themselves. That's why this priestly service is so important. Because if all these objects are there, then this ark can be here on this earth. And people cannot deal with this ark in our natural way. That's why there are many services around the ark. And God wants to have people and have priests that serve at this ark and do not die, but live and serve before him. And so his kingdom can come down on this earth. This is what the Lord wants. And that's why we have to know the Lord. And we have to appear before him and not just do anything for God's kingdom and not just like he wanted to help the ark because it was tipping over and he wanted to help it and then he touched it and he died. God had to judge. Because we can't just do something for God's kingdom that's right in our own eyes. We have to go to this command center, so to say. We have to go to this house where the most holy place is. Also, the situation in which they fought against the Philistines. The Lord wants all the enemies to be our footstool. But as they had difficulties, they said, oh, well, when the ark is with us, then we have always won the victory. So let's get the ark. But the question is, do we fight because something is not working out in the church? And then we still need to get the Lord to help us and then it'll work? Or can the Lord use us? The ark was always one that went before the people. And in 1 Samuel 4, 5, they took the Ark of Testimony, the Ark of the Covenant, sorry. And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted so loudly that the earth shook. And they thought, now the Lord will help us. And he will help us to win the victory. But this was a time where they experienced a huge defeat and the ark had been taken away. You rejoice and you shout so loudly for the Lord, but you're not aware that the Lord has moved out and is going away. He didn't even support them. He had moved out from them. Oh, Lord, and he never came back in. It is really so different because they didn't know the Lord. And the Lord doesn't ever stop. He always goes on. He always wants to go on. until his kingdom comes. He will always go forward. He will not rest until the whole kingdom has been taken. It's not something of the Old Testament that we are speaking. Revelation also mentions this when he takes the whole kingdom. 11:15. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." And then verse 19. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen in his temple. And there were lightnings, noises, thunderings, an earthquake, and great hail. When the Lord has completely taken the kingdom for himself, then the temple and the ark is also there, because that's where the Lord reigns. And so this is so important. The priesthood is so important. He doesn't want us to perish before him, but he wants us to serve him so that his kingdom can come. And he needs the priestly service so that his kingdom can come. Amen. Let us perfect holiness in the fear of God. Amen. Revelation 3:3. Amen. Remember therefore how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. Amen. The other verse before was 2 Corinthians 7:1. And Revelation 3:5, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. The ark is the most important in the house of God. This shows his dominion and his ruling. If the Lord is not the head, what is the church? If your head is gone, what are you? You're just a corpse. Without his reigning and dominion and his being the head, then the church is not the kingdom of God. Then it's just a meeting of believers, but it's no longer the kingdom of God. Only if we submit ourselves under him as the King of Kings, then we are the kingdom of God. The Lord lives in all the believers, but that doesn't mean all the believers submit under him. Have all the believers always submitted to him and done what he said and followed him when he said, don't do this? This is what makes the church the kingdom, if he's the head. If he's not truly our head, then we are not his kingdom on this earth. And unfortunately, we have the choice. Israel had the choice. They denied and rejected Christ as the Lord as their king. And then they said, give us a king. Samuel was angered by it. He was shocked because God is your king. But then they said, no. Did God destroy them? No, he let it happen. And in the New Testament, the Lord came. The king came in flesh and blood. John 19 says that. It says, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And what did they do? They got rid of him. crucified him, they said, "We have no other king besides Caesar." That happened then, and what about us today? As believers in the New Testament, we're not any better. Otherwise, there wouldn't be so many different groups. It can't be one king and 10,000 groups. That shows we don't listen to him. Where is his kingdom? The ark is only there if we listen to him. Ephesians says he is high above every power and principality and every name that is named, not alone in this age, but also in that which is to come. He put everything under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. That means the practice of the Ark of Covenant is that we listen to him. You have to be our king. You have to be my king. I want to learn to obey you. Then the reality of the kingdom of God is among us. If we still just do whatever we want, then we can call ourselves the kingdom of God from morning to evening, but it is without any power. In Corinthians, it said that the kingdom of God is in power, not in words. And this comes when we submit to him. And this is the most important part, that we would take him as our king. Then the kingdom is there. And then the enemy will be under our feet. Of course, if the Lord is our head, then the enemy can only be under our feet. May we really experience this ark in our and apply it in our daily life. That's the manna is in there, the budding rod is there, and the commandments are there. That's to bring us under his ruling. The rod came where there was rebellion with the sons of Korah. And this proof of his authority, his resurrection life, should bring him back under the dominion of and authority of the Lord. And we realize if we're no longer paying attention to the Lord, and I have my own head in the church and at home, then we need the budding rod of Aaron, this resurrection of life, so that we come under his ruling. The Lord showed us this way. Matthew 24:14. This gospel will be preached among the whole earth, and then the end will come. So the Lord has prepared a way for us, and he wants to have one testimony for him. Matthew 24:14. Praise the Lord. I thank the Lord for his clear speaking to us. And I have great appetite. Not to go into a 7-star restaurant here on earth, because I think that would be too little food in terms of the portion size. But I want to go to a heavenly 7-star restaurant. I have really big appetite for this food, to have this food daily. This is a portion that is for every day, for each day. He gives us a portion for each day. So it's important that we go this way, because God is holy. And I know I'm not holy. And that's why I have to go this way. Because I don't want to be carried out. I want to be filled with this wonderful food. Aren't you all hungry for this? Don't you have an appetite for this, to eat this food? Yeah, I have great hunger for this. Amen. Praise the Lord. I experienced the reality of this yesterday. I was coming home from Serbia. I wanted to come here yesterday. And everyone in the car was saying, oh, I'm so hungry. I want pizza. I want noodles. And then I said, I'm hungry for the word of God. Amen. 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 We're also hungry for the word of God. Amen. Thank you for your food in Zion. Thank you for this great hunger. Thank you for the food that you give us. Yeah, bring us into all the reality. We pray again that we would all be such priests that enter into the holy place and enter all the way into the throne of grace, that we would appear before you. We want to be such priests that daily take this way. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have called us for this. Amen. Bring us all forward until we come to the throne of grace. Lord, we want to experience everything that's in your throne. Lord, bring us fully under your dominion, on your ruling, that all rebellion within us would come to an end. Lord, we thank you for the power of resurrection, that we would come under your ruling and into your life. Save us from all rebellion. Bring us fully into your dominion and into your life, that at priests we would learn to do what you want to do all the time, as you lived it out yourself, and as you lived yourself, that we always want to do what pleases the Father. Lord, give us this food. Amen. The food that the Lord gives us in the most holy place is a very special hidden food. And the ark has a golden pot that has the manna inside. In Hebrews 9, verse 3, starting from verse 2, for a tabernacle was prepared, the first part in which was the lampstand, the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. This is the holiest place. Can anyone just enter in? Do you think the place that is called the holiest of all is accessible for all and everyone can just run right in? If so, it wouldn't be called the most holy place, because that's where God lives. He dwells. That's where the ark is. That's where the Lord himself is. That's where his presence is. Amen. Which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer. So where is the golden censer or the golden incense altar? In the holy place or in the most holy place? In the first part or in the second part of the tabernacle? In the first? Or in the second? Both? How is that possible? In Exodus, it says very clearly that the incense altar belongs to the holy place, the sanctuary, to the first part. It's before the veil, in front of the veil. But Hebrews 9, verse 3, it says, it talks about the part of the tabernacle which is called the holiest of all, this one which had the golden incense altar. This had the golden censer. So now you're confused, or? So it's also different in this drawing. Isn't that astonishing? So who has the answer? First of all, in the New Covenant, through his death on the cross, he rent the veil. It was the veil that separated the first and second part of the tabernacle. Through his death on the cross, he had rent it in two. He made the way free. That's what Hebrews says very clearly. That's why let us come forward with boldness to the throne of grace. This golden incense altar now belongs to the most holy place because the veil has been rent. But on the other hand, this wonderful picture shows us also the experience of the priests. It's not just because the veil is no longer there or separating, but it shows us what the priesthood means or what we need to experience as his priests today. If we go into the tabernacle and if we intercede for God's things, matters at the golden incense altar and have fellowship with him, it's not just a one-way street. We pray and pray and pray, but nothing comes back. If you look at Moses' experience as he built this tabernacle and erected the tabernacle and he went in to speak with God, who spoke more? Moses or God? The answer of God was always longer and more. That means it's a place where God would meet the people. This is where God meets the people or encounters the people. He receives so much speaking from God, not outside in the outer court. And not even before the outer court, where many people say, oh, I don't hear God at all. How can I hear him? What does he want to do today? What is his plan? I don't know. Many don't know what it means to hear him. The Bible says, he who has an ear, let him hear. But how do I hear him? It depends on where you are. If I'm always just busy outside with so many other things, with the world or with religion or with other things that are outside, then you cannot expect God to reveal his mysteries to you. Maybe he can say something to you in a general way, could be, but when it concerns his matters and what he wants to do in this universe today, you will not experience these mysteries or see these mysteries outside. It's impossible. Even if you try to separate yourself there and do this and that, it's impossible. When Moses wanted to know what God wanted to do, then he had to come forward. He had to enter into this wonderful tabernacle. And there he heard God's voice. This is where God appeared to him. And where? At the golden incense altar. This was the place where God has fellowship with man about his eternal purpose and plan, not about personal burdens or personal matters, but it's about God's plan in this universe. So the question is, if we want to know what God wants to do, if yes, then there is no other way but to enter in and to tell the Lord, I'm a priest. Show me what you want to do today. Even in the New Testament, at the beginning, we see this picture. As the priest, Zacharias, went in the temple at that time, at the time that Jesus was there, at the beginning of the Gospel of Luke, as it was his turn to go into the tabernacle or the temple at that time to bring the incense, he went in. And outside, all the people waited. They had to wait. What will God show them? And inside, as he was bringing this incense, God appeared to him. The glory of the Lord appeared to him. So this wonderful picture shows us that God doesn't appear just everywhere and to show us what his will is, but only to those who are ready to come forward to this golden incense altar. That's why it belongs to the most holy place. It went from the holy place to the most holy place, the incense altar. And this is the experience of the priests. If we begin to serve at the incense altar, we will be drawn in. Just like the incense altar, it's a little bit more outside, but then it draws you in. You start in prayer to intercede. You think about your own things first, but then the Lord shows you, you're here for my purpose. You are a priest. And then when we enter into this burden, and the Lord puts this prayer on our hearts, and we pray according to his will, then we will be drawn in more and more into the throne of grace, always closer to the Ark of Covenant. This is the experience. You start more on the outside, but then you end up at the Ark. This is where the Lord appears. And from this throne of grace, the word tells us very clearly, this is where God speaks with the cherubim. The cherubim which cover the ark. This is where God spoke to Moses all the time. Whenever there was a problem with the people or the problem with the going on of his people or on this earth, then the Lord spoke from this place. And not everyone received that speaking. The people outside, they had to wait. He waited. Oh, what will he say when he comes out? And this has to show us is he's not going to give this speaking just to anybody, and I can do my own things and be unholy, and then I expect that God will reveal his plan to me. It's not that easy. There's a whole way that we have to take as his priests. And this way we have to learn to go. We have to learn at every station he works his holy nature into us. And then we always come closer to him. And then we learn and experience what he wants to do, because that's where he speaks. Is this not a wonderful way? And that's why these objects are so closely related to one another. The incense altar, the golden incense altar, and the Ark of Covenant. So whoever wants to know what God is doing today, he has to bring incense and he has to let himself be drawn into the presence of God. Is this not wonderful? Isn't this such a wonderful way? And there at the Ark of Testimony, Ark of Covenant, everything is made out of gold, and that's where God's glory appears. That's why there are two cherubim that the wings cover the Ark. It's called the propitiation covering that is overshadowed by the cherubim. So it's so wonderful when we come forward, each time we come forward to intercede for God's purpose, and we're there for His matters, then the Lord will appear in His glory. And from this ark, He will speak. Hebrews 9. It had the golden, Hebrews 9, 4, which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid on all sides with gold. In the most holy place, there's only gold that shows His holiness, expresses His holy nature, in which were the golden pot that had the manna, This manna was hidden three layers, so to say. The manna in the wilderness was not hidden. You had to get up, okay? If you slept too long, then, and you opened your tent, then you say, oh, where's the manna? It's gone. But normally, if you got up early enough, then the manna was right before your door. You just had to go out and you had to collect it. But this manna, which Hebrews 9 mentions here, is not just lying there right in front of your door, and you go out and you say, oh, there's my manna, but it's hidden three times. First, it's in the most holy place. Not everyone gets there. Even the high priest could only go in once a year. And then it's not just in the most holy place, but it's in the Ark of Covenant. And there's a cover on this, the propitiation covering on this Ark of Covenant. And then it's in the golden pot within this ark, within the holiest place. And then you had to open up the pot, and there was the manna. Isn't it hidden manna? Do you know this manna? There are all different kinds of manna. There's open manna, and there's hidden manna. What does this hidden manna remind you of? It's talking, it reminds us of the church in Pergamos in Revelation. Revelation 2:17. It was for those in Pergamos, they had married the world. They were outside. They were not even in the outer court. They were completely outside. And the Lord called them in 17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, not someone who just walks out of his tent, not just a believer alone or merely a believer, but to him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. The hidden manna. Which hidden manna? It's this hidden manna. We're talking about the hidden manna. But to go there, you need to overcome. To overcome the world. To overcome the flesh. To overcome the old man, the unholy nature, through the Lord, and through all these wonderful objects the Lord has shown us in the tabernacle. Everything He has made available to us so that we can overcome. And he who overcomes receives this hidden manna. So how far have you entered in or broken through? Are you still outside, in the outer court, in the most holy place? Are you always in the most holy place? by the Ark of Covenant with the golden pot of manna. It's not so easy to get there. Not so easy. It's for those who are seeking. It's not for those who think they know everything. Oh, I know everything. I know this Bible verse. I heard this already. You don't have to tell me again. If we have such an attitude, then for sure I will not find anything. The Lord has hidden manna for those who are really seeking, for those who really want it. You have to want it. If you don't treasure the hidden manna and you think, okay, the manna outside is enough for me, then fine, okay. Enjoy, that's also okay. But there are some who find the hidden manna, who find what no one else has found, a food that is so wonderful. Moses was someone who knew God in a very special way. The whole people knew God, but did they know him as Moses knew him? The people saw a few deeds and wonders. Did they get to know him in such through this? Moses knew the ways of God, not just the deeds of God or the acts of God. He knew the ways of God. So there was a difference. So does God have a preference? Oh, how come he showed Moses so much and the other ones didn't get anything? It depends on our heart. As we heard in, what about David? King David understood what God wanted. Did everyone else understand that? No, it required 400 years for someone to understand. There was a man who was after God's heart. He really wanted to know what God wants to do. He had such a seeking heart. He's like, I have such a nice dwelling place and God lives in a tabernacle. Do we have such a heart? Or do we not care at all? Or do we think, oh, it'll happen. It's God will do everything. No, he looks for people who seek him. Even Hebrews says, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. George also spoke about the faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith. But those who believe, those who seek him diligently and seriously, he is a rewarder. So what do you get as a reward? The hidden manna. It is a reward for the overcomers. This is what Revelation tells us. It is a reward for the overcomers. So we have to overcome with the Lord and overcome through him. And we have received everything to make it. And then we will receive a precious portion. The Lord has said the mystery of the Lord will be given to those who fear him, and he will let them know what his covenant is. Do you want to be those who know his mystery and have a... Isn't it wonderful if he shows you his mysteries? I don't know if you guys want that. Yes, we want it. Look at all these wars that we see on this earth, and we see the President Trump, and then if they have an important decision, they only invite a few people into this inner circle or to make this decision. Do you think he will tell the media and have a press conference about how they will attack the enemy and say, okay, now we're going to come from the east with this ship and with this airplane and we will attack this building? Will he share this at a press conference? Who is invited or who is who's allowed to come into the situation room for the important situations? And very few people know what's going to be done. Oh, cool. And afterwards, you see the picture of how people were in, just a very few people were in the room and made the decision. There's not that much place. It's a little tight in there. It's in the most holy place. There's not that much space. Does your fat self fit in this most holy place? You can't press yourself into it or push yourself in. There are just very few people who know what the Lord wants. It's not an elite group of people. No, it's because they seek the Lord. They want to be there. They have this desire, like David, like Moses, like others. They want to have a special portion from the Lord. And the Lord is looking for those who have this hunger. Who is hungry to look for this place and to meet Him there? So may the Lord draw us in this most holy place to know what He wants to do today. Hallelujah. This is my hunger. I want to know what the Lord wants to do today. Amen? Do we all want to have this appetite like Andre? 7-star restaurant, the best food. Praise the Lord. Let's have a few prayers.